Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details. Together,
now you know you were trouble. Hey, back to get hour number two underway. The Usual Suspects. It's a 3-hour big show extravaganza and everything else that I like calling it as we go from 1 to 4 before we turn over to the Blitz.
I'm just so disappointed in Brad Peacock for hitting on AJ Hinch's wife.
Now you're saying he just hit on him. You were implying that there was contact made.
I'm just so disappointed, and, you know, good for Granato for getting in there and finding out about
it. Some people
it.
Are saying Salisbury said it.
She meant Granato.
Well,
Rachel. She meant. No. She, look at her follow-up tweet. Lowell, Mick Granato. Yeah.
Okay.
I also want to say that Nick was dead on accurate when he said that the spicy barbecue sauce from Dickie's is on point. Legit good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm digging that.
All over the menu, Dickie's has done well.
Yes.
By providing the lunch for us.
Yes. Are you a pickles guy when you eat barbecue?
I don't like those kind of pickles.
No?
I like the bread and butter pickles, the sweet chip pickles sometimes. I'm not big on those.
I love them. I won't eat like onions with it, but I'll just, yeah, I can put a whole plate full of pickles.
You love a good pickle, huh?
I knew. You know.
Scott wants to get in here and talk about AJ Hinch. Scott, what's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas? This is Scott in Deer Park.
Hey, what's up, man?
How much, dude? I guess y'all dug down and found the deal about what Granato did this morning.
That's so funny.
It was pretty hilarious that there were actually news people that bent on that.
So good.
Someone on social media, on Twitter last night, started it too, or implied it.
And it was probably like, Granato on social
media. Like, damn, someone went Delonte West on him?
It was Granato that kind of stirred the pot, dude. But anyways... Man, I ain't talked to y'all forever, man. How about them Cougs? I know they suck, but how about them Cougs?
Okay. Yeah, how about them?
Yeah, man. They're rolling. They're rolling.
Yeah, rolling. I'll be nice. Anyways, man, it's good to hear from y'all. Barry, I want to come see you again. Come know where you're going next.
Yeah, I will, man. You know I'm always going to announce it, like, here on Twitter or whatever. But, yeah, I'll let you know for sure.
Scott, if you want to come see him, just see him after work when he's driving home. You guys can hook up somewhere.
What?
Oh.
10-4, man.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate it, y'all. Love listening to y'all. Bye.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
God, we haven't heard from Scott in forever, man.
I know. Oh, he's been on Twitter at least, so we know he's okay.
Yeah.
Like, JJ's so missing in action, he's just never coming back.
I think JJ's, yeah. He's out for the year with hurt feelings.
And a drive. He might still be on a long drive somewhere. You want to get your guy in here? Have you waived the ban on him?
I don't know. That's fine. Let's do Iowa State Mike. Iowa State Mike, what's up?
Yeah, I said we start TCAC tonight. Bring him back and beat the crap out of them bums.
You want Peacock, Mike?
I mean, you knew he's just a weird dude. He's just a weird dude.
If there's anybody that needs a good peacock, it's Mike.
I don't think that was him.
OU Mike needs a good peacock.
I don't think that was OU Mike.
You don't?
The way he texts.
I don't think that was him. I think that we just got played.
Really?
Yeah, but at least we didn't fall for fake news. Now, Brad Peacock hitting on AJ Hinch's wife, on the other hand. What a weird twist. What a weird story. Wow.
Nick says fact.
Yeah. Okay. Just hits him with the fact. I like it.
Nick's got the ladle in his hand because he's stirring the pot full blown right now. The wooden spoon's coming next. All right. We still got more Astros calls lining up. John wants to get in here real quick on the Stros Yanks. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Love the show.
Appreciate it, man.
I just want to say one thing about this series. Let's go, Yankees.
Wow. How'd that feel?
John, you feel better about yourself?
Feel good now?
I always feel good about myself.
How are the Yankees going to win?
It's going to be a little rough one. I think
we can
get to Keiko early.
John, you can't be coming in yelling, go Yankees, and they're going to win. And then, well, it's going to be rough. Are they going to beat Keiko or are they going to beat Verlander?
I mean, I'm a Yankee fan, so I got to keep it real. Okay. You know, if we can get to Keuchel early, you know, the Amish guy, you know, get him out of there, you know, get him out early. Well, I think we got a good shot.
All right. I mean,
hey, as a Yankee fan, you got to be optimistic too.
If y'all lose tonight, it's over.
Well, I won't be playing, so you can't say y'all. I won't be on the field.
If the Astros lose tonight, it will be over. Okay. Right. I apologize.
I do agree with you that it's going to be tough because I'm not even worried about game six. I would be worried about game seven. So appreciate the call, John. Yeah, if they lose tonight with Keuchel on the mound, ugh.
Well, I mean,
I'm telling you, man, game seven is going to loom large.
McClain is not still the owner of this team.
Why?
Because if he was, he'd say that Verlander could pitch game six and game seven. He could come back on short rest.
True.
So. That's unfortunate.
Can we lock the door? El Jefe's here.
Yeah, I saw that. He wanted a hug from me. I'm like, sorry, sir, no touching.
Oh.
Keep an eye out for the unmarked squad, Nick. We don't need him breaking into this place.
Yeah, this isn't good. This isn't good at all. Please bar El Jefe from the building. Please. All right, you want to switch gears now? What? What the hell? Let's switch gears. Let's do Rockets. You want to do some Rockets talk?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we'll start with Kevin. Kevin, what's up, man?
Hey, how y'all doing, guys?
What's up, man?
Hey, I'm awesome way to start the season. Awesome. But I'm a little upset.
First of all, why?
I'm upset. And it's not with the Rockets. First of all, we had a great game. And if Chris Paul only scores 4 points and gives you 11 assists, then I feel pretty good and we're beating the Warriors. I feel pretty good. Ryan Anderson didn't even give you what he usually gives you when he's shooting the ball. So I feel pretty good about what we put together. But what I'm pissed off about, and I know, Barry, you can relate, is every time it's never good enough. The Rockets, they're not doing good enough. And I'm talking about Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley. It's always we're not doing good enough, or the Warriors just got to fix this and they got to fix that. I don't know what it is, but it seems as if we just don't get the credit that we usually deserve. And they were bashing Chris Paul saying that he's not going to fit in the system. He's going to fit in the system. He's going to take pressure off of James Harden, as he did last night. He was able to facilitate the ball. You got to be able to do something if he put up 11 assists. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like he was just sitting there.
I mean, so... I saw that you tweeted about that last night. It's kind of just getting a little annoying that every season it's, oh, well, the Rockets don't have defense. They looked pretty damn good last night. They had a couple of lapses in communication errors, but they looked pretty good. You got to think, the Warriors is still a great team. They can shoot, but when have we ever seen the Rockets just get after it and go chase balls and just be ballsy the way they were last night? We've never really seen them like that. Even James Harden was given the greatest defensive effort I've ever seen him give. So
Kev, what's your favorite Kool-Aid? What's your favorite Kool-Aid? Cherry? Fruit punch? It's got to be red.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm telling you right now, if you saw James Harden getting after it on defense, we were watching a different game. I'm gonna give you a look. I love your enthusiasm and all of that, but let's be realistic, okay? It's a work in progress with Chris Paul for sure. Yes, the 11 assists were good. It's a tale of two halves. The first half was not pretty. Second half was a lot better. But the bottom line was, we mentioned this, and I've said it several times since then, that lineup that he can go to, if he goes offense, defense, D'Antoni can go to a lineup in which he can put Trevor Ariza, Chris Paul, Luke Mbah-Mute, P.J. Tucker, and Clint Capella on the floor. That's a lineup capable of both guarding on the perimeter and playing good team defense to shut anybody down. All those things are great, but it was one game to start the season. They did the same thing a year ago when they beat the Warriors in overtime. But look, hey, it's a game that a lot of people didn't give them a chance to win. It's a good win. And you know what, Barry? Yeah, you picked them to win, and I didn't.
I'm just kidding.
But it's one game to start the regular season. I wouldn't go... like 64-ounce big gulp Kool-Aid on me just yet.
Well, it's obvious to me that you didn't watch the game because after last night, they're obviously going undefeated. And mm-hmm. What?
Keep going.
And James Harden is winning Defensive Player of the Year. No, look, first of all, what I said about Shaq and Barkley, I've gotten past the whole they're just going to hate on the Rockets for no reason. I mean, that's just what that's their thing. And it's personal with them, too. So I don't really pay it any attention. What I got sick of last night was them going at each other, Shaq attacking Charles about not having rings, and, you know, Charles attacking Shaq and oh, well, you know, that's because you had Kobe dragging your fat ass up and down the court and this and that. I don't want to hear that. Just talk about the game. Just because that's old. That was funny the one time you did it, but every time now it's super annoying and I don't want to hear it anymore. As far as the... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and the TNT people are tweeting that out even between shows on Mondays. Like, stay tuned for the rebuttal. Like, they want it.
Yeah,
I just want
it's played. It's played. As far as the Rockets go, I don't think you got maximum effort from Chris Paul. One, because of the knee, and two, because it's going to take this team some time to gel and get their chemistry together and figure out what they're going to be. You could watch several times. Ryan Anderson and Trevor Ariza were sitting there yelling at each other on a play because Ariza was supposed to go set a high screen and he didn't, and they ended up at the same spot, which is never a good thing on a basketball court. It's going to take time. I mean, this is, like you said, it's one game. There were some great signs. I'll tell you what, I feel really good about saying P.J. Tucker might be the Marwin Gonzalez of the Rockets because he did everything last night. He was hitting threes. If that dude's draining threes at his career clip of 35% or better, along with the rebounding and the defense and everything else, plus he's a court leader. I don't know if you saw him, but he was barking at some fools last night.
First of all, he got a flagrant that he didn't deserve, but I'll tell you this. People aren't aware of the fact he was the best corner three-point shooter in the NBA a year ago. If he's open in the corner, you give him the ball. He and Ariza were top three in terms of making the corner three, which means you got to respect him from distance. But the fact of the matter is I like the fact
I'm surprised it's not Lou Williams. I thought Lou Williams was the best corner three guy.
He is tough. Well, Tucker is tough as nails, and he gives them kind of that. Remember how we always talked about no one's got Harden's back, or if they take a shot, PJ Tucker's got everybody's back.
Yeah, that was supposed to be Nene last year.
How well did Nene play last night, Bear?
Yeah, but being an enforcer. But Tucker looks like he would like murder you on the court. He looks angry. I like it.
And then he might murder you off the court too. You never know. He's that tough. I mean, look, there's three guys that we know of that James Harden was not happy when they were playing against, and one of them was PJ Tucker. Tucker mentioned in his press conference, "Ask James when you want to know about me and my game." So it's good to have him on your squad as opposed to against it. But a good win for the Rockets. Now, don't pee down your leg and lose to the Kings tonight, or it's all for naught. We'll be back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, I had the verification I was looking for. It was Dr. Dre on 290. I told you guys last night that I thought I had seen it, but I didn't want to give out the wrong information. But Dre on 290, who retweeted it to me just now, and you, last night was tweeting, Peacock was the most consistent pitcher all year long and got great run support from the sticks. Did Peacock pull a wild thing and bleep AJ's wife?
Mm. Got it.
So before there was a Granato, there was a Dre on 290, evidently.
Rico's hating on the Yankees fans. See, that's why people hate Yankees fans.
I do too.
He didn't say anything angry.
No, but at the stadium, they're a bit much. I give them credit. They're always confident, but it's overconfident, and it's ego-driven, and it's annoying as hell. But you know what? The only way to shut them up is to beat them, so that's what they got to do.
Somebody did point this out, and I'm totally in agreement, and I have decided I wasn't going to make a big deal out of it today.
Yeah.
But the we's, us, and y'alls, we need to tighten our game up, folks. None of y'all are playing. Joel and I ain't playing. These we's, us, and y'alls, let's not do that. We're better than that. This is the usual suspects. You're better fans than that. Let's step it up.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of part of fandomonium, is they feel that attachment to the point where they do go that route. But look, you know, we were talking about the Rockets.
Don't
the
defend
break,
it.
And I'm not trying. You know, but here's the thing. Even before Chris Paul was out with the knee in the fourth quarter late, you could tell that it's going to take a while. I'm glad you said it before the break because you beat me to it. Look, this team isn't even anywhere close to where it's going to be later in the year and where it can be later in the year. Let me put it that way. But it's going to take some time because the offense in the first half was stagnant, and the only time the offense was working was when James had his hands on the ball like 80% of the time, and Paul was sitting in the corner like, where else can I go to get out of your way, and what am I supposed to do? Now, they figured some stuff out in the second half, and they looked much better. And when either one of those guys are passing the ball, the wide-open looks for guys are just crazy, and they're going to get better. But, you know, again, this is the first game of the regular season. Golden State's not going to be where they were. They lost Draymond Green in the second half. I thought that was key for them. In the first half, who'd have thunk that Nick Young was going to go crazy?
That's the other thing. You're not getting 20 out of Nick Young every night, so...
You hope not.
No, there's no way.
On that team, a lot of teams are going to say, let Swaggy P beat us as opposed to others.
That's what I mean, though. On a night when the Rockets win by one and got lucky on a buzzer beater... They're not giving up 20 to Swaggy P. I'm with you. The next time the Rockets play the Golden State Warriors, I would let Swaggy P beat me again. Every time. I'd give him those shots. So, yeah, it's not happening. The other thing that I noticed last night that I made a note about, this is my note. Tillman on the floor hugging Harden and Tucker. Yep, he's the next Cuban.
I thought about that.
He was out there, and I'm like, what, bro? It's game one.
Well, I made the analogy.
You didn't win a world championship here.
I was thinking the Cuban analogy when immediately upon taking ownership of the team, he was on outside the lines with Bob Lee, and he was doing all this, and I was like, oh, he's the anti-Les, because Les pretty much hid from the media. Tillman wants to be out there. Then he gets the sideline report from David Aldridge. And immediately starts rolling into, you know, we're going to be good, we're going to be great at the end of it, you know, love this team. And I'm just like, oh, boy, there's the absolute 180 degrees from the previous ownership. But, he's got the TV show and everything else. And you make the exact analogy I made when I saw him on Bob Lee's program. I'm like, oh, boy, he's trying to be Cuban Jr. I mean, he's going to be the next Mark Cuban if he can help. You know, Cuban's got Shark Tank and everything else. But you know what? I'm not mad at him. That's a fun place to be. If you got the money and you've bought the team, you might as well enjoy the perks of traveling and sitting courtside and doing national TV interviews and making a name for yourself, because you paid a whole hell of a lot of money. You might as well get as much as you can out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I like my owners not to be so upfront. Although, I like what Cuban brought to the Mavs as far as being invested in the team and all this. So that's good. But I think you can do that behind the scenes, like Les did. You can be out front. I just don't want him to become the story.
You want him out there in warm-ups and Mavs gear and then sitting behind the bench screaming at the officials.
I don't need to see a shot of him every 15 seconds either and during the game. That would not be good. I did notice at the end of the game when they were talking about the fact that, well, Draymond Green's not in the game and this may have something to do with the collapse and he went out hurt. But if you listen to the rest of the game, they sure were doing a lot of ball washing of Kevin Durant and how great his defense was and how all the blocks that he gets and this, that. I'm like, Durant's still on the floor. They still have the rest of their team. Yeah, they're missing Draymond Green, defensive player of the year, sure. But all this praise and stuff you laid at Durant's feet as far as a defender.
He had the one sequence where he blocks Ryan Anderson on one end, he gets the three-point play on the other end. Yeah, and you would have thought that he just wrapped up Defensive Player of the Year. So I hear what you're saying. I thought you were going to kind of discredit the fact that the Warriors really took a step back when they lost Green, because when you look at his stats, he almost did it again. He was a couple points away from a triple-double. I mean, he had major numbers, and he is the glue. I'm never going to say he's Steph Curry or Kevin Durant from a scoring perspective, but that guy does it all.
He's their be-all.
He is their glue.
Yeah, that's a great point. I didn't get to see it. Did you see Hayward break his leg?
I didn't. I was telling you guys in the production meeting, I was so deep into the Astros game that I started getting tweets and texts, and I thought, like, did you see that? And I thought, even my college roommate was saying, I'm like, what, the Astros collapse? And they're like, no, Gordon Hayward. And I'm like, no, what? And then when they told me, first of all, I couldn't find it anywhere on the internet, excuse me, immediately. But when I did find it, I think based on what Lisa heard come out of my mouth, I wished I hadn't found it. Because when your foot's going a totally different direction than it's supposed to go, that was ugly. I think it's actually a blessing that he didn't tear everything from his knee to his ankle. And the fact that it's a dislocated ankle with a fracture in his lower leg,
it looked way worse than that.
It sure as hell did.
It looked like he got run over by a truck or something.
Yeah.
Ugh. And I just happened to catch a glimpse of it. And I'm super glad that I didn't see it because that kind of stuff grosses me out.
Yeah, it was nasty to say the least. And then as I was searching social media, you know, I found the kind of things that just make me shake my head and go, and these are the things that you and I and Nick have talked about, but some people just shouldn't be on social media because, let's be honest, they're on social media just to try and create controversy and fire people up. But Skip Bayless, I mean, this guy who I can see it when he's just taking pot shots at so-and-so not being the greatest player or whatever, but within minutes of Hayward going down last night, he tweets, if Gordon Hayward is gone, maybe for the season, LeBron's path to losing a sixth finals gets even easier. And that set off a firestorm like no other. Like, as pissed off as I was about the Astros, I enjoyed reading just about every response that he got on Twitter, starting with DeMar DeRozan. So the players were coming at him going, you're a clown for that tweet. After a man gets hurt with a potential career-ending injury, S word bigger than basketball. And
yeah.
It got, Rudy Gay was like, really? You're a heartless clown. Now go paint your face. I mean, guys were lining up.
I'm with them, though. That's deplorable.
I totally
agree. That's the first thing you think of. By the way, are we repicking our picks for the year?
You know what? I saw you tweet that last night. The only thing I would say is,
I had Boston in the finals. Can we redo this?
Yeah, I didn't have him in the finals.
In the Eastern Conference finals. I mean, I'm not trying to be heartless, but no, I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, you look at that. Here's the thing. Talk about heartless. The other thing where I give TNT some credit, except for the fact that Kevin Harlan immediately became a doctor, even though he didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Select last night, because his play-by-play call was, he broke his leg! He broke his leg! How do you know? I mean, did you just do a quick x-ray on the floor?
Because it was all floppy.
I mean, I guess the leg bone is connected to the ankle bone, but let's just... Slow your roll until someone with an MD at the end of their name can figure it all out. But when you get back into it, right, and you look at it, TNT was not even giving you close-up angles. They were trying to give you the wide angle. They were trying to save you all this. But then, talk about heartless. You go to Shaq and Barkley. I mean, let's just be honest. Let's be real. Celtics got no shot now. I mean, they're not going to win a championship. They got nothing. They're going to be lucky to be anywhere in the top half of the East. How they bounce, I don't know. And it was just like, man, talk about just peeing on after a black cloud just unloaded a thunderstorm. Just go ahead and pee on the parade if you miss something.
Somebody said, what percentage of Jazz fans were a little happy to see that? Knowing how a-hole Jazz fans are,
good
probably
point.
A bunch.
Very good point.
Jazz fans might be some of the worst in sports, so I bet you there were cheers all over Utah. I would be willing to bet you. Because they're
I would sincerely like hope not, but I could see that happening, you know?
Uh-oh, what is this? What is this? What is this, Donald?
Yeah, I was going to warn you.
Donald, what's up?
What's up, Donald?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Hey, let me tell you something. I'm 40 years old. I'm not some kid or anything. I'm also not some crazy fan. But let me tell you something. For the better part of the last 25 years, I've been pulling my wallet out of my backside and paying for tickets and T-shirts and everything else. So, gosh darn it, if I want to say we, I will say we.
Hey,
I'm a born and raised
language.
Italian,
language.
And I will say we whenever I want to. Love you, but you can go somewhere with that. Joel, when you talk about the Packers, feel free to say we, because you've lived and died with them for your life, too. If you've done that with a team your entire life, then you've earned the right to say we or us or any of that. I'm not stupid enough to think I'm going to go throw a pitch for the Astros. But I can't say that I'm tired of it.
Nick, did you dump Donald for his foul language?
I did not.
You can't just come on here and dropping GDs like that.
That would be rude.
You can't just come on here dropping gosh darn it. Yeah.
He was fired up. We've had this conversation on the show before.
I mean, yeah, Donald, this is...
You are very passionate about this.
Well...
I heard gosh darn it, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Language. Donald... There's kids listening to this show. You can't be just coming out here dropping gosh darn it's like this, like we're on XM satellite. Jeez Louise, fella. Darn it to heck. Let's be sensitive.
We've been over that one before.
What, the wheeze and all that?
Yeah, the wheeze and us and the jersey wearing.
Donald,
those are pet peeves.
Donald, I'll be real honest with you. Everything you said was fantastic, but it doesn't change my opinion on it. Unless you play for the team, to me, you sound like you just sound dumb saying we and us and y'all. I just, that's, you're not changing me, Donald. I'm sorry. I love you. Thank you for listening. Gosh darn it, we're glad to have you, but yeah. If Joel says we on the Packers, I'm lighting him up. I don't care.
Well, you can light me up all you want.
Because he
you
does better... say we a lot.
Oh, I don't know that I do or I don't, but I'm not going to run from it because I love them. So.
You love the Packers?
I love the Packers.
In Green Bay? All across?
Hey, right now I want to tell you about my good friends at Infuse Energy. I'm telling you, if you're looking for a great energy company that has your back, that's locally owned and operated, look no further because the people at Infuse Energy, starting with CEO Josh Pesikoff, do energy right. They do it because they want you to stay with them for a long period of time because they are honest. They're not trying to screw you over. They're going to give you a great rate. They're going to tailor make a plan for you based on your energy needs, whether it be for business or personal. And they're going to make it sure that the plan reflects like when you use energy the most and when you don't use energy as much, they're going to make sure that they reflect a plan that helps you in those regards. It's great. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that always has your back. And right off the top, if you mention ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit, but it goes a lot further than that. When you pick up the phone, you get a customer service rep. You don't get an automated system, and they immediately start asking questions and talking to you about what you're looking for in an energy company so they can try and provide you the best rates and the best plan that they possibly can. Most of the time, they can do that. Sometimes they can't. They're going to be honest with you there, too, and they're going to tell you what they can and can't do. It's all part of being customer friendly the way Josh and his staff want to do business. It's infuseenergy.com or 844-INFUSE2. That's infuseenergy.com or 844-463-8732. 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up, you choose a green plan. It offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits. That helps decrease your carbon footprint. And again, you're going to be satisfied with Infuse Energy and the plan that you get. Check them out. Tell them Joel Blank sent you. Infuseenergy.com or infuse at 844-INFUSE2.
5-CASH, 855-875-CASH.
Still Snoop Dogg and D.I.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
In case you missed it, Wayback Wednesday is dedicated to the Defiant Ones, Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre, songs that they were involved in. I have hour number two. Barry had hour number one. I will have Nick's back on hour number three, if you can read between the lines, as we continue to roll on. You know, you've got people fired up a little bit, Mr.
About
Laminack.
The we?
The we and the us has got people fired up. And
Rico said you can say we when the team pays you, not when you pay the team. You got it backwards. That was from Rico. See, I'm not the only one. Now,
while I was working for the Rockets, I was okay
saying
we.
You should be saying we the
we
whole time.
We and us and all that?
Yeah. For players that used to play there say we, I'm fine with that. When I talk about working? Gal Media, I say we.
Here, but here's the thing. On the air, I tried to avoid that. Because I said, you're already going to be considered to be a homer no matter what. But if you go that route on air, it's just got a bad sound to it.
So I said, I say we when describing A&M. All my money, sweat, and tears went to that school. I get it. I don't have a problem with that. If you went to a college like Nick, you've
clarified that before.
I know. That's what these. But with us, we get new listeners, and as we become the best and baddest sports talk radio show in Houston, of course, all the people are going to be on board and have not heard this before. I get it. But yeah, if you went to the school, great. If you played for the team, yes. If you worked for them, fantastic. You get to say we, congratulations. But if you're just like my dumbass and you're sitting at home watching the Astros, it's not a we. You know what I mean? That's my thing. You don't have to agree with me. I'm not telling you guys that you have to agree with me. I just don't like when people like the Yankees caller was like, well, when y'all's bullpen, I don't own them. It's not my bullpen. I'm not pulling the strings.
If they were
in the
scoreless through the first three games, coming all their pitchers in the pen, would you have said we look really good in the pen?
No. Oh, by the way, Donald texted the show.
Okay,
he said this is gosh darn Donald, and the next time I see you in public, Barry, I'm giving you a long supportive embrace.
Attaboy, Donald.
Damn it, Donald.
That's the
no
kind of suspect we like.
No,
can take a joke and give one out.
Barry is not funny. Maybe funny looking. Oh my gosh, darn it. Guy, I got to tell you, you're the first one to ever come up with both of those. That was really creative texting, sir. Good job. I'm going to win tonight. That was a text.
Wow.
I like that one. You mad at me, Barry? No?
Do you know who it is?
Friendly Neighborhood Beer Salesman.
Oh.
That might have been JJ for a moment. That's why I was, because JJ sure did call that one time. Hey, bro, you mad at me?
Yeah, he did do
Circle
that.
Yes or no. What?
You might have had him killed or something.
No, I didn't have him killed.
He fell off the face of the earth after that.
Ah, he's out there listening.
You put a hit on him.
No. No.
It is quite possible.
He's just not listening.
You don't think he's listening anymore?
I hit him up on Twitter. Anymore. I sent him a few tweets, like DMs, like, bro, you okay?
Are you sliding up in JJ's DMs?
No, not sliding anywhere. But I was just hoping that he would respond, like, dude, are you alive? Are you okay? Did something happen? Like, Scott in Deer Park had some health problems for a while. If we know, we want to let you know that we're there for you, we care for you. But just checking to see if dude was all right. Never heard from him again.
That's true. I think you hurt his feelings.
You did. You did. You're mean.
I am mean. Thomas Bame had a question. Technically, all the fans living in Green Bay can say we about the Packers, right?
If they're ownership.
Publicly owned.
Yeah.
I'm a no.
Here's the thing.
Me too.
I'm a no. Thank you, Nick. You can't no.
Joel said that before. He went that route before.
I don't if stock it. And then I asked
you. Own stock in it.
But then I asked you and you said it's basically worthless. It's not real
well,
stock.
Well, here's the thing. It's
come on. That's like getting a brick at Minute Maid.
It is the most valuable.
I paid to put my name on that brick. I'm an Astro. I'm part of the stadium. I can say we. No.
It is the most valuable piece of paper that you will ever get for $250.
Really?
It's $250.
Is it really $250?
You get a piece of paper that
states
you're a shareholder. You get invited to the shareholders meeting, which is basically, if you really want to go, the president of the team, Mark Murphy, talks to everybody about what's going on with the state of the team, business-wise and otherwise, while you fill up seats in the stadium. So you're invited
so you're
to come into Lambeau.
$250 for the food.
And to be able to claim that you're an owner. But when it comes down to votes on what they're going to do and how they're going to handle like certain
setting
business
lineups,
decisions, you got nothing.
Setting lineups, making trades, you don't get in on that?
No.
By the way, what song did you just... You played Still Dre?
Yeah, why?
Did you?
I think so, yep.
Miguel said, hey, I just tuned in, guys. Isn't that Snoop Dogg on the 2000... Or Chronic 2001?
Well, I can show you the article that I have where it was listed as 1999.
You're disqualified. Now it's between me and Barry.
All right.
My list and Barry's
good
list.
Good looking out, Miguel.
So hard on.
Good looking.
First of all, why is Miguel right? That's right. That's like
good
saying
out,
that's like Wikipedia. That's like saying that Aaron Judge, I mean, that that Chris Sale's dad is Jose Altuve, and that Aaron Rodgers actually owns Jerry World in Dallas. I mean, that's just because a listener says that he puts a date on it doesn't mean that it's correct. I'll show you the article.
The same song on my list, too, so he's trying to get me this one.
All right, Nick, see if I help you, Nick. See if I got your back. I got your back to put a foot in your ass or let you just get hit. I'm not doing it anymore.
Wow.
I'm done.
Somebody's angry. Somebody has lost control.
Next time
look at that.
Next time we as a show have some kind of an idea that we're going to go with, I would expect that we would be together as a team. It would be.
I was trying to disqualify myself. That way, we'd both be disqualified as a team.
Well, then Barry'd get his first win of the year. If that was the case.
Oh, I hate you.
By the way, it wasn't.
I can't. I have no argument. My lists have kind of sucked, hey, so I got nothing.
People want to get to this, but I'm not sure. That Gordon Hayward thing, though, last night.
By the way, I just want to. The album was called 2001. It was released in 1999.
Thank you. So I'm good. Thank you very much.
Damn it. We almost had him, Miguel.
Boom.
Go ahead, Gordon
I dropped
Hayward,
the mic, but it's on like a thing.
Right.
That Gordon Hayward thing, though, last night, I know we were talking about the fact that, look, he may end up being lucky because of the fact that he didn't like rip tendons and everything else. But just, is it Joe Theismann-esque? Like, I can go back and tell you, Andrew Bogut's elbow, Sean Livingston's entire leg, there's been some basketball injuries, but I mean, that one?
There was one, it wasn't Livingston. There was
a college football player that he shot a three, no, college basketball
yes.
player.
Yeah, Louisville guy.
Yes.
Louisville guy. Yeah. And the other one in the NBA is when Sam Bowie was playing for the Blazers and he already had a history of, like, breaking his lower leg. He went up and jumped in the corner of the floor, and luckily he had one of those shin sleeves on because it snapped in half, and when he picked up his leg from, like, mid-shin, yeah. It was just dangling. That's kind of like, I mean, Hayward's foot last night was going a completely wrong direction that it should be
going.
Yeah,
it looked like, oh, I'm not going to do it. I almost said mean things. Look like, never mind. I want to do it.
You're close. You're really close. I see it. It's like halfway out of your mouth and you're reeling it back
in. I'm trying to control myself.
I want
to
say Kenyon Martin shattered his leg too.
Did he?
Yeah. Not in the game, but like maybe prior to his NBA days, but like going, like before he went to the NBA. Like,
yeah. I had a buddy during the softball game. Somebody slid into him at third base and broke his leg, and he fell down and he yelled. He's like, ow. But he didn't know he broke his leg. And he went to stand up and he knew his leg hurt. And so he was trying not to put a lot of pressure on it, but it was snapped in half at the shin. And so when he went to stand on the leg, he just crumbled, just fell down because he couldn't. Obviously, it was snapped in half. Oh, it was the most disgusting thing. And dude never cried. I'm sorry. I would have cried like a baby if I break my leg like that.
Shout out to Jay who said it was Kevin Ware of Louisville.
Yeah.
Never was the same. The other one, though, that, to your point, Barry, how about Jack Youngblood playing? And it was either the Super Bowl or it was like an NFC Championship game. He played a half of football with a broken leg.
That's crazy.
Talk about a pain tolerance. Good Lord, man.
That's pretty manly.
Yeah. I'm not questioning that dude for toughness.
Hell no. We're getting more scores in. More predicted scores. Yankees 30, Astros 1.
We've already lived through 8-1.
Run scored on a bloop single. Yeah, that probably would be the case. We'll get more score predictions, I guess, as we go.
Now you're asking for even more.
I know.
If that's on you, brother.
All right. Guys, we all know that our city was hit hard by Hurricane Harvey. And after the devastating effects from that storm on our city and the surrounding areas, Gulf State Homebuyers want you to know that they're here to help you. They want to come together and help the community. So they have some great services that they can offer you. And because here's the deal. You're probably sitting at home after your house flooded and you're thinking to yourself, do I want to go through this again? Do I really want to rebuild this home, fix it back up? Only to have it flood again. And you're not sure what to do, call Gulf State Home Buyers at 281-717-6100. They're going to come out and help you. When you're dealing with Gulf State Home Buyers, you're dealing with a company that's won the Distinction Award from the Better Business Bureau last year, 2016, and this year, 2017. That means you're dealing with a great company that will work with you and that they're going to help you. So you're looking at the house and you're thinking, do I sell it? But I don't know how much I can get for it. That's why you call Gulf State Home Buyers. They come out under no obligation to you. They're going to give you a free cash offer evaluation for your home. So you got all that sheetrock out and you're just wondering, I know it's going to cost X amount to fix, but I don't know what I could get for it. Gulf State Home Buyers is going to give you that cash offer so that you can make an informed decision. 281-717-6100. Give them a call. Let them help you. They got an entire team of professionals waiting. They've got attorneys, title companies, a whole in-house staff that's there to help you, but you can't get the help if you don't call. 281-717-6100. Or hit them up on the web, GulfStateHomeBuyers.com. The folks at Gulf State, they're there for you, and together we will keep Houston strong.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Hey, football fans, we're almost halfway through the season. What are you waiting for? MyBookie.ag, an industry-leading website with real Vegas odds and incredible player props, is offering a 100% bonus for the last time this year. That's right. Have you been thinking about placing a pick all season but haven't manned up yet? Well, it's time to make your move. After Sunday's kickoff, you can kiss that bonus goodbye. To top it off, this week has the most exciting baseball of the year. Don't wait. Join MyBookie today, and you can still get a 100% bonus. Act now before it's too late. Put your sports knowledge to the test and start winning big. Visit MyBookie to claim your 100% bonus. Use promo code RADIO or call 844-900-2387. That's 844-900-BETS. Or visit online today. Don't miss out on your last opportunity to collect the industry's biggest bonus. Bet with the biggest. Bet with the best. Only at MyBookie. Sign up today.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. After I left baseball, I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. So I got back into the game with Nugenix. I'm feeling stronger with a lot more energy and drive. You want to get back into shape? Get Nugenix.
All you have to do is send one simple text.
Frank's right. Just text LIKE to 42424 to get a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix samples are not available in stores. To get your complimentary bottle, text LIKE to 42424. That's L-I-K-E. To 42424.
Results may vary. Call for details.
You've been thinking about LASIK for years. You've heard how LASIK can be a life changer, and now there's never been a better time to see if LASIK is right for you. That's right. If you're looking for LASIK in Houston, Jaffe Custom LASIK has advanced custom laser technology and now the best price guaranteed.
I put this off for years. It was over in seconds, and within 24 hours, I had better than 20/20 vision.
A beautiful facility and the latest technology. Jaffe LASIK's changed my life.
Jaffe is your answer for safe, pain-free, affordable LASIK. Jaffe LASIK can correct nearsightedness, farsightedness, and astigmatism. And now for the best price in Houston, guaranteed. Don't wait any longer. Get your 100% free LASIK exam to see if LASIK is right for you. Call and schedule your free LASIK exam. Just dial **2020 on your mobile phone now. Dial **2020. The exam is 100% free. Just dial **2020 on your mobile phone now. That's **2020. Dial **2020.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, knee-deep in hour number two. Before we go to the third big hour of the show, we are having some good times here, but also firing some people up. The Astros have got people fired up. The Rockets have got people fired up. You've got people fired up. What else is new?
Clayton said, I tweet the show a lot, and y'all say my name on air. So can I say we from now on when I reference the show? Yes. In that case, yes, because here's the deal. There's Joel, there's me, there's Nick. And we make up this half of the show. But the other half of the show is the listeners. So together, yes, we're all in this together. We are a we. So when you say The Usual Suspects, if you're a listener, yes, it's we for sure. No doubt. Now, if you say Gal Media, that might be a little different.
No.
But when it comes to the show, it's a definite we for sure. Also, how can I get tickets to Leather and Lace?
Man.
He showed me a picture of that Charlotte McKinney.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nick, you might
meow.
Make sure your pass
I'm
is
assuming
correct.
She's like the girl of the day for ESPN.
She's pretty hot.
You know,
or the hot chick of the day.
Have you ever seen the Carl's Jr. commercial where the really super hot chick like literally almost makes love to a Carl's Jr. burger?
Yes.
That's her.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, Nick. You better make sure you have VIP access, if you know what I mean. Because that's the kind of access you don't give to somebody else, you use for yourself. So we're expecting video, audio, and a lot of stories that aren't suited for either one of those from you from this little extravaganza.
I might go now. Buddy, the truck driver, said, what happened to Mike Fiers? He got left off the roster. That's what happened.
With good reason.
Yeah.
Thank God he did.
Yeah, Mike Fiers is not good. No bueno. Like, you think you're pissed off about seeing some of these guys come in and lighten it up? Just wait. Mike Fiers would have been worse. Trust me.
All right. We want to get to a few of you guys that are lining up here to keep talking about things that we've been talking about. Tony, first up, you want to talk about the, I don't know why, but you want to talk about the Joe Theismann.
Hey, gentlemen. How you guys doing today?
What's up, Tony?
Ah, man. I was at that game, man, and I was on the 50 behind the Giants bench, and, I mean, seeing the bone come out of the leg live was ridiculous. Lawrence Taylor was vicious. He would be out of football in these days. He would be done because every hit was very, very violent. And, you know, as a Giant fan back then, I liked it, but, you know, it was like scary. Everybody immediately realized everything. Even himself, everybody was waving people out to the field like, you know,
yeah, right
the
away.
Bone is showing. This isn't right, you know.
Well, and the Kevin Ware injury for Louisville on the basketball floor was the same way because the bone actually broke through the skin.
Oh,
that is
God.
Just yeah. You know what?
Isn't there an NBA injury also where somebody's leg bent the wrong way? I don't know if it was Rose or somebody, but
No, it was Sam Bowie. Sam Bowie with the Blazers, and then Sean Livingston when he was with the Clippers had a breakaway layup, and I don't believe the bone broke through, but it literally folded up in ways that not even an envelope should. So,
right, and when you look at that stuff, it's like, you know, when things, when a leg should be going one way and it's turning a different way, it's like, how did that even happen? I mean, you can't even go through an injury as a kid without something like. I mean, I don't know. It's violent. But like I said, you know, Lawrence Taylor would probably be out of football because he can't control himself. So, anyway, I want to let you guys know that that was one of the most, you know, turn-your-stomach type experiences I ever had. And my son was with me, and I was like, oh, man, I don't believe he just saw that.
Yeah.
So that ended his idea of playing football.
Appreciate the call, Tony.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. Nowadays, too, the thing is, like, when the Livingston injury happened, the trainers instantaneously took the big towels, and they weren't going to let anybody see anything with good reason, because I believe the bone probably was exposed.
Nobody wants to see
but
that.
But nowadays, like, with Hayward, the one thing I kept watching was his facial expressions. Like, how much pain is he really in? Because you would think, with what it looked like, he would have passed out. But because, thank God, they had those big air casts, and they were able to, like, kind of position the leg and secure it and stuff, he actually was like shaking hands and with I don't believe any painkillers or anything yet when they were taking him off the court on a stretcher, and I'm like, oh my God, I think I'd probably be unconscious.
Yeah, I know I would be crying and all that. I'm not even going to sit here and pretend like I wouldn't, but like when my buddy did it, he didn't cry at all. He just laid, he's like, oh man, it hurts. Like, yeah, it's folded in half, it's gonna hurt. Like his was Hayward's was going the wrong way. It was out there. You wanted to make the joke.
I know. It's just sitting in the tip of your tongue. You won't let it all the way out.
It's just, it's not appropriate to drag Tracy McGrady into this. I'm not going to do it.
You're so close. So close.
Anyways, I think you can pick up what I'm putting down.
Yeah, but I'm not sure everyone can. But
do you see what I'm saying?
Dustin wants to get in here on Astros pitching. Dustin, what's up?
Hey, guys. Well, I have a couple of things. First off, I'm so curious how I watched that Gordon Hayward thing, and how is that only like an ankle fracture,
dude,
or a leg fracture?
That's what I
said. You and me both, because even you were getting on, what's his name, Kevin Harlan, for saying it was broken. It looked like it snapped in half.
Well, because he landed on it. It bent back underneath him. Then he landed on it. And I thought instantaneously, he probably snapped every ligament in his entire leg, his hamstring, everything. I was, like, pleasantly surprised to hear it was just a dislocated, a dislocated ankle and a fracture. You're like, you would think that the entire leg was shredded.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was my first question. I was like, dude, that thing's, like, cracked in half. I mean, his ankle's going to just fall off. But yeah, no, my other question was actually kind of back to another topic on pitching. I'm sort of confused, man, because we, you know, most teams have a four starting rotation, and they put all their other people in the pen. And right now, I mean, you have Peacock, you have McCullers, you have Morton, who are all, like, possible starters. And at this point, why don't they throw either Peacock or McCullers, just leave them in the bullpen to give them some help? Because, I mean, I watched five guys come in last night, and not a single one of them could get a single out. And, you know, you actually get McCullers that comes out and gives you a really, really good outing. I don't know why they don't just go to four guys and give the bullpen some help.
Well, it's an interesting proposition, because what are you saving Peacock for? You know, if you know that, you know, you went to McCullers, you went to Charlie Morton, and you got your two aces, if that's going to be what you're going to go to, or it looks like they've shown enough that that's what you're going to go to, then what are you saving Peacock for? Just get him out there. Unless you were going the direction that you were talking about, which was Peacock would have started today. But if he wasn't going to, then get him out. He can get people out. He's pitched out of the pen before. Get him out there.
But you didn't know that Giles was going to melt down like that. That's the problem. You know what I mean? You brought in Giles with a chance, and he melted down. I mean, he had just given you two solid innings before and hadn't seen the field since then, so you had no reason to think that he was going to come in and do what he did.
Barry, I know where you are on this. Dustin, I don't know if you're still there, where you are on this, but yeah, I don't have the same confidence, and Barry knows this.
Well, I don't know.
I don't have any confidence in Giles anyway, but I don't have the same kind of confidence that Yankee fans do when Chapman comes in the game. I see Giles come in the game, and I'm like, oh, God. I mean, if it's a one-run game, he's definitely putting the leadoff guy on. It drives me crazy. Well,
no, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, Joel, but I mean, we already went through like three pitchers before Giles, and that was sort of the thing. Giles seemed like the last resort. Which, honestly, if you have any guys in the bullpen, like if you would have had Peacock to go out there, maybe you never even have to use Giles.
Well, that's where I was going, Dustin. Isn't that your panic button? Isn't Giles your panic button in saying, one, I have no confidence in anybody else in my pen, and two, I feel this thing slipping away so quickly, I got to get my closer in regardless of how early it is because I got to try and save face.
Yeah, and that's what you would think. And I mean, because you just watched Giles pitch, and dude, his curveballs don't fall off the table enough, and his fastball has like zero movement. So, I mean, these guys are just teeing off on a fastball, which is really all the Yankees are good at, to be honest. They can't really hit breaking balls that well as a team. And
his slider was sitting up. I mean, I think it was Smoltz that said he's so lucky he had two sliders sitting above belt high that Judge just missed. That was like, God. He just didn't have his good stuff yesterday, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, you brought Giles in. I don't know. I don't know what to say. That's who your closer is. Unless you're going to move Gregerson back into that role because he hasn't given up a run. But Giles is your guy.
I mean, you have to, I guess. But, I mean, like I said, there's just no confidence in that pen.
He has been giving up a run here and there, but also getting the save. He did so against Boston.
Yep.
In the 8-2 win, there was no reason to panic when that happened. But he's given up a run in every outing in the postseason. It just so happens that last night it bit you. I mean, I don't know. This is the bullpen you got. There's no changing it now.
Wait, there's not.
This is it. They're done.
Wait, can we get Tony Sipp back for the next series?
You can. I mean, no. Yeah, you could in the World Series if you wanted to. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but I don't think adding guys that are long relief is the answer because it's a different animal trying to come in and get one out with the bases loaded or two outs with the bases loaded as opposed to starting fresh in an inning. And that's the difference between guys like Peacock and McHugh out of the pen as opposed to Gregerson and Giles and Harris and the rest of these guys. When they brought in Devinsky, I was legit nervous because Devinsky scares the crap out of me now. He's lost it.
You talk about a guy early in the year that you would have said you'd take it anytime, any place when he comes on the mound.
Yeah, he was. He was an all-star.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we got two in the books, one to go. Plenty more of the big show. So it's been going along pretty quickly, my friend, but it's only passing the time until the inevitable hits at 4:08.
That's right.
First pitch. We'll get to who you got. I already think you push the button.
Okay. We'll see.
All right, we'll see.
Cool. All right, guys, I want to tell you right now about my favorite place to eat in Houston. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, located at 1901 Taft in Midtown. If you haven't gotten out to Cowboys and Indians yet, do me a favor. Get out there. First of all, slap yourself in the face for not going yet, and then get out there and give it a shot. You're going to love this food. It's a mix of both Southern comfort and Indian foods. It's a great place to go. They've got a ton of fusion favorites for you to enjoy. First of all, if you like Indian food, they have the best butter chicken in Houston, hands down. Go give that a shot. They also have quesadillas made with naan bread. That's that fusion food that I was talking about. They have what I think is one of the best burgers in Houston. I might be a little biased because I've had it and it's delicious. But try the Himalayan Heat Burger. And if you're out there and you decide, you know what, I don't want like chicken curry, I want chicken fried steak. That's the beauty of Cowboys and Indians. So many options on the menu. I'm trying to get through it all, but I'm having a hard time because that menu, it's long on both sides, the Southern comfort and the Indian food. And the Indian food is authentic family recipes passed down over time and perfected by Haas and the crew. So get out there. And right now, if you go out for lunch between 11 and 3, which it just ended now, but you can head out there tomorrow, they have a special going on. It's the ESPN 97.5 special. It's an all-natural, half-pound classic burger with fries. guys for $8.99. So tomorrow, do yourself a favor. Between 11 and 3, get out to Cowboys and Indians at 1901 Taft in Midtown. You think about a full-service bar, you can enjoy the game, enjoy some cocktails. You can have it delivered to the house. DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub will deliver Cowboys and Indians to your house. 1901 Taft in Midtown. Facebook, you can hit them up at CNI713. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world, guys. Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, there's nothing like it.